The Oregon Country Fair returns to the woods near Veneta in Lane County next weekend, July 13th through 15th. The name confuses some people when they first read it. It's not a county fair, but a country fair. Totally different thing. The Oregon Country Fair is a taste of another time and place, a feeling of the counterculture of the 1960s, but with lots of other flavors in there as well. Charlie Ruff is the former GM at the Oregon Country Fair, who has retired, but obviously can't stay away because he talks to us about the fair every year. Charlie, good to have you back on The Exchange.
It's a pleasure to be back, Jeffrey. Good luck with your impending move here.
Thanks. I can imagine you can relate because of all the logistical things you have to pull off every year over the course of a three-day weekend.
It's a pretty interesting challenge to essentially build this entire village in a floodplain from scratch, practically from scratch every year, and then take it apart and put it away.
Well, I wonder in particular about not just the people who show up to be there, because they'll find ways to be happy, I'm sure, but you have, when I'm looking at the list of people that you have here for musical acts, and then you got a separate category for vaudeville circus and comedy, and then a separate in the dance pavilion and spoken words, and there's just all these names on your poster. How do you coordinate, how do you do the air traffic control to get all those people in and where they're supposed to be on time and hooked up and ready to go?
Well, sometimes gracefully, sometimes not so gracefully. It's fascinating. One of the things I think that's central to how well the fair has performed over the years is the amount of sort of horizontal structure with all these different coordinators that handle. We have, I think it's 66 operational crews now. Five of those are just entertainment crews to specifically talk to what you were saying. And they manage either one, in case of the main stage, the main stage there, or several stages, depending on the type of programming, like vaudeville, for instance. We have a vaudeville coordinator who books the acts and then, with his volunteer staff, helps to make sure that the groups that are coming have a space to stay, are prepared, get their equipment to the stage, everything they need, essentially. It's kind of like a rolling green room, I guess you could say.
I'm still amazed by the fact that there still is a vaudeville. I mean, is it like five guys in Berkeley or something?
No, you know, I think the fair had a lot to do with the West Coast vaudeville revival that has happened really quite actively in the last 25 years. It's huge. You know, there's the whole Moisture Festival up in Seattle that really started up based on a lot of folks that were coming to fair every year to perform. And there's a renewed interest in vaudeville, believe it or not, as well as all sorts of other different aspects of performance art. Some of the action stuff that the fair features on a lot of stages, like acrobatics and action juggling and those kind of things, has really also had this big resurgence, I think, because so many of these folks found fertile ground for performing at the fair.
Charlie Ruff is the former GM at the Oregon Country Fair, coming to Veneta once again, July 13, 14, 15. Share fair stories. Ask questions of Charlie, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So let's step back a little bit in history here and talk about, by the time you got involved in the Oregon Country Fair, what was the perception of it in the world?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm being a little bit of a student of the history, probably more than a little bit, I think that the fair, you know, like anything else, has gone through seasons of its lifespan. And early on, it very much was this labor of love, counterculture movement, place for people to go and celebrate. So much of it early on was really focused on that concept of right livelihood and these artisan crafters, you know, making this thing with their own hands and being there to interact with the customer that's buying it from them. And that thread continues through to this day. Like anything else, the fair started to mature over time. And so, you know, in its 20s and 30s, I think of, 30 years ago as kind of the Wild West of the country fair. And that was when the fair was trying to figure out, you know, how to transition from being this upstart thing in old, you know, timber country outside Eugene, into a part of an established thing, part of the establishment by definition in that sense. And so, you know, it's gone through this evolution. And you know, at certain points there were different types of operational things that were put into place that may have changed some of the old flavor of the fair, but brought a new flavor and also made it more sustainable and more enjoyable. I mean, at one point in the 90s, there was a cap put on ticket sales because crowding on the paths was becoming an issue. And then over time, more area became devoted to that public path. A few years ago it was about 84 acres. Now it's 90 acres of public path space. And so as each of that, as time goes on, all of those forces have helped it evolve and helped it really feel a little bit different every year. There's some newness to it that continues every year. And I think that's really magical. That's not all events can do that.
Were there any directions where you consciously tried to steer it while you were in charge?
Absolutely. One area that I pushed very hard while I was there is to open up that last 6 acres of path. There's an area that's now called Xavanadu that's this really magical space, and it was one of the last spaces, according to the permitting, that we were able to have as public space. And so it took us about 7 years of steady work to transition that from what had been sort of right behind the scenes. It had been a crafter camping area for many years into this beautiful, oak savanna space that just comes alive every year now. And it's changed the feel on the path immensely. There is this place, this expansive place where you can get out of the dust, where you can, get into action things. There's room for big art, and it's just a whole different feel out there. But it's also made the flow everywhere else really improved. And so it's just from a livability standpoint, having that new area, that Xavanadu, has made a huge change.
Xavanadu, is that what you're calling it?
Yeah, Xavanadu with an X at the beginning.
That's fun. So for the people, Charlie Ruff, who hear the word fair and think about rides and deep-fried food and crowds, I mean, what would you tell them before they think about coming to the Oregon Country Fair?
Well, obviously we are not, we don't specialize in livestock in any way, shape, or form. I think with the Country Fair, it's a social, cultural, heart experience that really is like nothing else. So I would say come with an open mind and a willingness to dive in and play, to nurture your inner child and to wander around in amazement. There's still some good deep fried stuff out there. For instance, all of the 80 plus craft booths, make the items that they sell, or the food booths, excuse me, make the items that they sell right there on site and from scratch and with a lot of love. And you will find food there that you won't find literally anywhere else. I don't think you'll find an elephant ear, anywhere, on the Country Fair site. But you will find a spinach turnover or, just magical food in the woods that is completely unexpected by first-time fairgoers.
All right, some key differences there then between Country Fair and County Fair.
Absolutely.
So how different, Charlie, can the experiences be of someone who spends, time in just one corner of the fair from the experiences of a person who focuses in a different part of the fair? It sounds like it's pretty much what you make of it.
It absolutely is. I mean, I think it's very... I always tell people that come to the fair with a really specific agenda. So if you pull out the Peach Pit, which is our print publication that has the schedules for all, there are now 19 stages of entertainment at the fair. Those are formal, official stages. And then there's, dozens of wandering performers on the path, hundreds, I mean, literally 700-plus crafters, and again, the 80 food booths. And so, yes, where you're at geographically it impacts your experience, and you can choose to sort of customize that. And if you need something with more open space or something that's quieter and more acoustic, for instance, all of those options are available to you. What I tend to find is that it's the most fun if you just kind of jump into that stream and let it carry you where it will. Just follow your fancy through that path. And the experiences you're supposed to have will happen, and you'll get a little flavor of everything.
That's a lovely metaphor. Jump into the stream, and you do not mean water.
No. Mm-hmm. Although the Long Tom River does border and run through the Country Fair property, but no jumping in the Long Tom, please.
Okay. Well, we've talked in the past about the reputation that the Oregon Country Fair got, deserved or not, over the years as a place where there are lots of people who are high. And I know there's a proscriptions against substances there, but I do have to ask about the fact that since you're living in a state now where marijuana has been legalized for personal use, whether that's created any new issues for county fair staff in the last couple of years.
You know, I don't think it has presented new issues. There's more of a internal sort of cultural conversation that's happening around that. But you know, the law is, as I understand it, is still the way that it has been, which is that consumption in private spaces is legal, but in public spaces there's still an issue, and the fair hasn't changed that. The fair hasn't changed their policies one iota. It's a drug and alcohol-free event. I'm not going to tell you that you may never smell a wisp of marijuana while you're walking down the path, because that's impossible to guarantee in any public space. But by and large, that's not going to be first and foremost your experience there.
Charlie Ruff, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the former manager of the Oregon Country Fair, coming back to Veneta July 13, 14, 15. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Got questions for Charlie about things to see, do, listen to, eat at the fair? 800-838-3760. You can share your own experiences at the Oregon Country Fair over the years. Is it 49th year into this time?
This is 49.
Wow. Okay. And jx@jeffnet.org if people want to send emails, too. The counterculture of the 60s and 70s that more or less launched this as a Renaissance fair way back when. It definitely had a political component to it, and I wonder if there's anything overtly political at OCF.
Well, I think there absolutely is. I mean, the act of doing the country fair is an overtly political act in many ways, and how the fair tries to go about that, be that from its sustainability, its attempt to be zero waste, and those are political acts, even though they may seem focused just environmentally. The fair's board of directors actually keeps a change line item in the budget, and they are occasionally weighing in and giving money to political causes, not just locally, but sometimes a little further abroad in the region. And so the fair stays political in that way. And I think, there's a thriving commons for conversation, for discussion in this era when, it's more important than ever for people to start to talk about, what's going on in our country. I think the spoken word program at the fair can be very, very political and very inspiring at the same time. That's one of our, in fair terms, a relatively new addition, only being, I think, 11 years old or 12 years old now. But the spoken word program brings frequently very politically charged speakers to the stage.
I noticed the spoken word lineup there, and I saw Mark Frohnmayer's listed there. Is that the Mark Frohnmayer from Arsimoto?
I do not know the answer to that, but okay. I would guess that it is, actually, but I can't say that with 100% veracity.
Okay, and the son of Oregon's former Attorney mm-hmm. General and former University of Oregon president. And then there's also climate change trial of the century, I noticed, on the spoken word list. Is that about the Children's Trust lawsuits?
That's a great question. I'm pulling up the schedule, and I hadn't noticed that aspect of because I actually went through the schedule before we were talking to pull out some of the highlights, and I think that you are correct on that.
All right. So, and I also noticed for the non-spoken word stuff, a Bollywood dance party. Hey, that sounds fun.
So the fair did this. That was one of the components of that new area, the Xavantadu. There's a participatory dance pavilion. There's expository and participatory dance. And some of the dance program, the dance stuff that's happening at the fair, is just out of this world. I never thought myself much of a dancer, but once that pavilion opened up, my wife and I were out there every fair, at least some chunk of time, getting out on that dance floor and dancing with just hundreds of other people. It's an amazing experience.
I noticed you have Lipbone Redding coming. We actually had a chance to play a clip of his in the segment before yours because he's coming to Grants Pass as well. Actually, this is the day before the Oregon Country Fair starts, come to think of it. And then I noticed a Jim Page on there. I assume that's not Jimmy Page.
No, Jim Page is a Northwest, singing-songwriting folk legend who has been coming to the fair for as long as I can remember. Jim's just a lifer at the fair and a really talented, wonderful man.
So for you in particular, because you've stayed connected to the fair after you stopped being the manager of it. I mean, you're talking to us on the radio about it. I mean, you obviously have a great love for it. I mean, what are the feelings you have in the days before it opens? I mean, because you're not directly involved, I guess, with all the setup anymore. But do you get nervous? I mean, do you get like the baby's about to be born, that kind of feeling?
No, you know, it's really interesting. Obviously, when I was more directly responsible, that's a different thing. But what I will say that from the staff perspective is very analogous to what you experience as a person who comes out just for the day on Friday, for instance, is that there's this buildup, there's this anticipation. But once you're there, once you're on site, you're kind of all in. It's this immersive experience. And that's true as a manager. I mean, we would spend the staff there currently basically, is out on site for 6 weeks leading up to this. And there's this whole sort of build up that happens in layers and builds upon itself. Yes, right at the end, like until those gates open on Friday, there is always some sort of last minute things that need to be attended to, and sometimes you can never really predict what those are going to be. But it just never fails that the magical team that's out there pulls things together, and it's really interesting because the vibe, as soon as those gates open on Friday, the vibe changes, and a whole new there's a different thing that starts. So once the event is on, just the whole dynamic shifts from really building this thing and setting up this mechanism into the literally the flower blooms, and it's hard to express. And there's these days for me, there's great anticipation in that, because when the gates open and folks start flowing in and you see those smiles and you feel that you feel that love and you feel that excitement and engagement. It really is magical. I mean, there's nothing else that I've ever done that's quite like it.
The Oregon Country Fair returns to Veneta July 13, 14, 15. That's next Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Charlie Ruff is the former fair manager and still in love with OCF after all these years. Thanks so much for joining us once again.
It's always a pleasure.